Wednesday, August 29th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly. I am coming to you from right here in Denver, Colorado. We are in the Mile High City, and we are back for another day of talking sports with a dose of common sense and maybe just bringing you a sarcastic look at the world of sports. You know, we do try to have a little bit of both here at the Dose. We are doing our best to keep you entertained each and every day. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope that your week is going along smooth. We have made it halfway through our week, and it is a holiday weekend for us here in the United States. The weekend is a little bit closer now. Labor Day is coming. Got a couple days off. Got a huge weekend of college football. We are sitting in a pretty good spot right now, just a few more days until we get to that long weekend. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe let us know what you're going to be doing this upcoming weekend. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or feel free to go over to Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you have a comment. Maybe you have a suggestion for us here at The Dose. We would love to hear from you. Send that over to us. Hey, today on the show, we will, of course, be continuing our 2018 Daily Dose College Football Preview. We will be joined again by longtime friend of the show, Big Rob, and we will be breaking down the big conferences and a few teams in the smaller conferences. We are giving our picks for who will win each conference, but we will also be looking at who the other contenders are within those conferences, who could maybe cause some of those top teams to stumble. Still got to get to a number of things. Got to the ACC yesterday, made it partway through the Big Ten, got to finish the Big Ten up today, maybe get to some smaller schools and maybe even some independents today. Also might be talking a little bit of Big 12 today. Got to make sure that you stick around for that. But before we continue with our college football preview, we do have a few things coming out in the world of breaking news. Starting off in the world of Major League Baseball, the New York Mets have traded Jose Bautista to the Philadelphia Phillies for a player to be named later or cash considerations. Not quite sure just yet. Now, Bautista is 37. He was claimed on waivers by the Phillies late on Monday, and the teams had until yesterday to work out a trade. Now, Bautista has hit 204. He's had 9 home runs and 37 RBIs since signing with the Mets following his release from the Atlanta Braves earlier this season. Bautista has started games in the outfield. He's played some third base. He's even played some first base for the Mets. He is hitting 196 with 11 home runs and 42 RBIs overall this season. Of course, he's a 6-time All-Star, but that was all back when he was with the Toronto Blue Jays. He has 342 career home runs, and according to Elias Sports Bureau, the third player to play for 3 teams in a single division in the same year. Yeah. The National League East is basically passing around Jose Bautista like a cigarette right now. Hey, but the Phillies do need help. They've been stumbling lately. Jose Bautista is an experienced guy. He's a good locker room guy. He'll be good in there. He'll help them. And you know, he's a good guy just in general. You want to know how good of a guy he is? Jose Bautista follows the Daily Dose on Twitter. What more do you need? I mean, that's a sign of a good guy. He follows our Daily Dose Sports Podcast show on Twitter. See, I told you, Jose Bautista's a good guy. We need to be cheering for Joey Bats when he goes out there. Yes, he might throw the bat. Yes, he's been bounced around teams this year, but I'm pulling for him. I'm cheering for him. I'm hoping that he does well. Plus, like I said, he is a good guy. He does bring some experience, and we don't know how the stretch run is going to go. You never know what's going to happen. Tensions are high. Philly is trying to make a late season push. They are trying to make the postseason. And sometimes that pressure does make people do crazy things. And we know that if necessary, Joey Bats can take a punch. Never forget that. Switching over to the NFL, we do have a couple things coming out in the NFL. First off, Philadelphia Eagles coach Doug Peterson says he likely needs to make a decision on his starting quarterback for the Eagles' opening game against the Atlanta Falcons by the end of this week. Though he did kind of hint that he's not going to tell anyone until later. He said, deadline, 90 minutes before kickoff. Privately, probably Friday. Now, the Eagles do play the Falcons next Thursday, September 6th. So, hey, things are going to start getting going. We know most teams are playing their final preseason game later this week. Thursday, Friday, they try to get those out of the way and then start preparing for week one. And right now, Carson Wentz and Nick Foles are splitting reps evenly at practice. But we also know that Carson Wentz is recovering from that torn ACL and LCL in his left knee. And we know Carson Wentz hasn't been cleared for contact. There's just a few days left for the medical staff to even clear him, to even say, hey, you're good to go. You can go out and you can participate. But here's the question. Why in the world would Carson Wentz be even an option at this point? Why would Doug Peterson even care about answering this question at this point? Think about this. Carson Wentz hasn't been touched since that injury last season. You really want to rush him out there for opening week? That is exactly why you kept Nick Foles, is so you don't have to rush him back. Who cares about opening week? The Philadelphia Eagles need Carson Wentz to be their franchise quarterback for the next, what, 10, 15 years? Something like that? Do you really think it honestly matters who's going to be the starter in week one? And I don't want to hear about, well, have you seen Nick Foles struggle in preseason? I don't care. I don't care 1 ounce about preseason. It makes no difference. If Nick Foles is capable of playing in week one, then Nick Foles plays in week one, and that's all there is to it. I don't want to see Carson Wentz back until week 3, week 4, week 6, week 8. I don't care. Unless you go 0-5, 0-6, 0-7, there is no reason to rush him back. He needs to be your starting quarterback for the next decade. Who cares what you do through the first month of this season? It doesn't make any difference. If I'm Peterson, I mean, I guess I don't answer the question just because I don't want the Atlanta Falcons to know they get to prepare for Nick Foles, but I really think that's the only reason Peterson's doing this. He knows full well he's not starting Carson Wentz. You do not put him out in that situation where he could possibly not be 100%. And like I said, he hasn't been hit in months. There's no way Carson Wentz is starting week one. I will just announce it now for him. Hey, Nick Foles is most likely your starter. Okay, there you go. I know sometimes the national sports media just gets so wrapped up in these goofy stories. And I understand when they jump on something like, hey, Tom Brady, why won't you answer for what your trainer is doing? You won't even answer the question. But when you look at this one, like, I think we all know. We all know they're not going to rush back Carson Wentz. It doesn't make any sense. Just kind of silly. Speaking of things that don't make a whole lot of sense, we do have a little bit of news coming out from the Dallas Cowboys. Because yes, Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager and Daily Dose hero, Jerry Jones, wants to see the NFL schedule change to see 18 regular season games and just 2 preseason games. And he says he does not believe the players' health will be adversely affected. Here's what Jerry had to say. Wait, I'm going to see if I can channel some Jerry Jones. I think candidly, it's probably physically better for players than it is to have the longer preseason, the longer practicing. This is what Jerry Jones said on 105.3 Fan in Dallas on Tuesday. Our studies show that we actually have a ramped up injury situation with players during preseason as opposed to the injury factor in the regular season. Now, he did acknowledge it is debatable as to whether there is more of a health risk, but he said, again, I'll try to channel Jerry, I think it's defensible. And really, I did present it on the basis that it's getting rid of 2 preseason games. What is he talking about? Does anyone have any idea what in the world Jerry Jones is talking about? How in the world would 18 games possibly be safer? So right now, you have 16 games, and then you play 4 preseason games, but your players barely play in those 4 preseason games. They play probably, 5 quarters out of the whole thing? You're talking about adding 8 quarters and still keeping 2 of those preseason games, which now they would still have to play some because you're going to have to ramp up and get yourself ready. What is Jerry Jones talking about? You know, a lot of times here at the Daily Dose, we kind of poke fun at the sports media and we kind of make fun of some of the things they say. And, you know, just like the previous story with the Eagles, we look at them and say, what are you guys talking about? But I want to say this. I want to go on record saying this. I love when the sports media jams a microphone in front of Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, because the things that come out, they're just amazing. I love it. It doesn't make any sense. I have no idea what he's doing. I love that he's an owner. I love he's with the Cowboys, and I love when he speaks. It's just good, good stuff. By the way, I know that there are a lot of concerns about CTE in football. One quick question. Have we tested NFL owners for CTE? Because Jerry Jones is showing all the signs. Might need to get him in as soon as possible. Hey, coming back, we will be continuing our Daily Dose college football preview with Big Rob. Yesterday, we made our picks in the Atlantic Coast Conference and the Big Ten, but which teams will contend in the Big Ten? We didn't get quite that far. We are going to get to those picks when we get back. So yesterday, Big Rob and I were discussing our picks for the Big Ten, and you know, neither of us picked Ohio State, who is widely considered to be the favorite. Rob likes Penn State. I think Michigan State is going to win the Big Ten. But both of us feel like Ohio State is going to have that distraction of the Urban Meyer situation, and they're going to have to deal with that. I don't think that's going to be easy. So right now, let's continue our 2018 college football preview as we continue our look at the Big Ten Conference.
Yep. Well, neither one of us like the Buckeyes. Who else do you like in the Big Ten?
Next team I like is Wisconsin.
Yep.
Good defense, running game, possibly best O-line in the country. Jonathan Taylor, running back. Like I said, I think they'll, you know, be consistent. Run the ball, play good defense. And I think they'll, towards the end of the season, may have a loss. But I think they'll be in the conversation right at the end of the season.
And the thing with them, and they were the next team on my list as well, they don't have a very tough schedule. They can skate all the way to the Big Ten Championship. Now, in that Big Ten Championship, does it eventually catch up with you that you haven't played anyone? Maybe. Because while the Penn States and the Ohio States and the Michigans and the Michigan States, they've been battling it out every single week, you've kind of been getting by on softer schedules. It always seems like they get to that championship game and then, I don't know, for some reason they get beat. Yeah, I know the reason. It's because you didn't play anybody all year.
Yeah, could be. But like I said, they're based on, good defense, running game. So, you know, unlike those high scoring offenses that, you know, sometimes that'll catch up with you when you're not playing anyone. But, you know, if your basis is defense and the running game, you know, even when you're really facing some competition, you know, I think they'll be able to hang in there and hold their own.
And like you said, they return their entire offensive line. They're going to be loaded up front and Jonathan Smith is going to be a load. What do we make of Michigan? I don't know what to think of Michigan this year. Defensively, they should be very, very good. Is Jim Harbaugh on the hot seat?
Yes. I think he is on the hot seat. And I think this is kind of how it always goes for Harbaugh. I mean, he gets there. It's exciting. You know, everyone loves him. You see immediate improvement. And then I just think his personality and all that stuff you love year one, you know, year three, year four, just starts to wear on you a little bit. Yep. You don't like it as much. And, I think the decline is coming. And I think it kind of started last season. And I think it's going to happen. I think they're, you know, probably drop 4 or 5 games just looking at the schedule. You know,
they've
can
got
see
a tough
4 or 5
schedule.
Easy loss, not easy losses, but I mean, 4 or 5, you know, losses on there. And like I said, I think they're, you know, he's definitely on the hot seat. And, like I said, I don't think they turn it around this season.
If you'd have said when he started, like just, what was that, 3 years ago? Mm-hmm. Something like that?
About 3, yeah.
That Jim Harbaugh is going to be on the hot seat. He's not going to have beaten Ohio State at all. He can't beat Penn State. He can't beat Michigan State. You just said, there's no way, you're out of your mind. I've got news for you. That's exactly what has happened. It is so crazy. I would have never dreamed it.
Yeah, like I said, it's a good 4 or 5 losses this season too. So that's, you know, something they'll be talking about all season, you know, towards the end of the season. You know, if he comes back, which, you know, maybe he gets one more year, but yeah. I think, like I said, just definitely on the decline, I'm saying.
Well, and they've got to figure out that offense. Last year, they couldn't keep a quarterback healthy. I don't know if they'll be able to this year. They're trying to figure out who's even going to be the quarterback this year. They just lost a wide receiver in Tariq Black. It's going to be very, very interesting to see what Michigan does this year. But I think Jim Harbaugh, hey, they start off this Saturday night in South Bend at Notre Dame. We may be talking about Notre Dame a little bit later in the show. That is not a gimme. That is going to be a very, very tough game. Yeah, Michigan's got a vicious schedule. Any other teams out there in the Big Ten that you would consider, even look at? Maybe they could surprise some people?
Yes, I got one more for you. Deep dark horse. Iowa.
I like Iowa.
QB Nate Stanley.
Yep.
I think he'll, you know, run that offense. They'll be able to put points up on the board. Again, not a team I think, you know, will win the whole thing. But, you know, definitely like we talked about before, that trap game. Yep. I think they'll surprise a lot of people. and a really easy schedule as well. There's only, you know, maybe two games I think that could give them trouble. But like I said, a real easy schedule. And like I said, they could come out with maybe one or two losses and also be in that conversation at the end of the year.
Well, and you brought up a very, very good point when you talked about trap game. Because if you want to talk about trap game, look at what Iowa did to Ohio State last year when they beat them by 30.
Mm-hmm.
You go into Iowa, especially when you go into their place, you're going to have your hands absolutely full. And like you said, Nate Stanley, pretty good as a sophomore. He had 26 touchdowns and just 6 interceptions. I'm going to give you one last team in the Big Ten. And again, it's not a team that's going to contend. It's a team that might sneak up on you, though. Northwestern could surprise some people this year. Mm-hmm. Their quarterback, Clayton Thorson, is an NFL kind of guy. And I know that sounds crazy when you're talking about a Northwestern quarterback. But if he can come back fully from that ACL injury, he suffered it in the bowl game last year. Hey, Northwestern could sneak up on you. And they do play on that west side of the Big Ten, so they get a little bit of a softer schedule. You're taking Penn State. I'm going Michigan State. Big Ten's going to be very, very competitive this year. That's going to be a fun conference. Okay, if you like offense, though, then you like Big 12 football because it is wide open. It is high scoring. There are times that the Big 12 looks a little bit more like basketball scores than football scores, but it is highly entertaining. Who do you have winning the Big 12 this year? First off, we've already talked that Rob is a West Virginia guy. I can't wait to hear what he's about to say right now for his pick for the Big 12. I have a suspect, but I'd like to see.
You already know. Yep. West Virginia winning it outright. If Greer stays healthy, that's what derailed us last year. Greer stays healthy this year, throwing the ball all over the place. We're putting up 35 a game. It's our year. The defense, as always, have questions about. Sure. But like I said, I really like this offense. And like I said, if Greer can stay healthy, I really like our chances. And I am taking them to win the Big 12.
I love it. I'm glad. Hey, and I'm right there with you. I love Will Greer. He's accurate. He's smart. He returns some serious help. He's got almost his entire offensive line back. He's got almost all of his skill positions back. He is loaded. Like you said, the defense could be an issue. But hey, West Virginia is going to come out and they're going to put up like 48, 49 and say, okay, hey, if you can put up 50, then I guess we lose. But if you can't, we're going to drown you this week because he is going to put up some big, big numbers. I like Will Greer. I like him at the next level too. I think he's just a smart kid.
Yeah, I agree. And then my second pick coming out the Big 12, if it can't be West Virginia, I think it's going to be Oklahoma.
Okay, you've got my pick there.
Because that's another one, like I said, can put up the points. Defense might be a little better than West Virginia, but I think it's going to come down to those two teams. Like I said, I just really like both of those offenses.
Yeah, I do too. And my pick will be Oklahoma. And it's a little bit boring, I know, because OU runs the conference and they win it, it seems like, every single year. But, you know, last year they lost their head coach. They still won it without any trouble. Now, they did lose Baker Mayfield. I think Lincoln Riley can plug in a guy like Kyler Murray, and he's got an okay arm. He can also beat you with his legs. He can be dangerous. They have some people coming back on offense. I don't know if the defense, like you said, is going to be great. They should be okay. They should be opportunistic. I'll go with Oklahoma. There are some other schools, though, in the Big 12 that I kind of like. So you're going to West Virginia. I'm going to Oklahoma, but who else do you like in the Big 12?
I'm going to say Oklahoma State.
Okay.
Always around there. I'm a Mike Gundy fan.
How can you not? With that hair, how could you not like Mike Gundy?
That ain't true!
But like I said, both sides of the ball, like I said, that's a team, you know, that I could see giving, you know, both the teams we talked about some trouble during the year.
Sure. You know, I'm going to put Texas in here. Only because I think Tom Herman has pulled some huge recruits. We know the offensive line last year was horrible. They did get a grad transfer to come in at tackle that should help. Sam Ellinger, the quarterback, he was running for his life most of the year. Maybe if they could protect him a little bit more. Hey, they've got some defensive talent. Texas returns a pretty good group on the defensive side. And maybe with the exception of probably West Virginia, the quarterbacks in the Big 12 this year probably aren't going to be as good as they were last year. So that could help a team like Texas who actually does, you know, play a little bit of defense. Now, the rumor that was out there was that Texas head coach Tom Herman was the one who ratted out Ohio State and Zach Smith. Can we all just gather ourselves together and pray for a Texas-Ohio State bowl game?
Yes, please. Yes, please.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to see Tom Herman and Urban Meyer shake hands. It would be the most amazing thing prior to the game. You know how many cameras would be out at midfield when they just both muttered expletives at each other? That would be so incredible. I'm just praying. Please, football gods, make it happen. Anyone else that you like in the Big 12?
One more I like, Kansas State. I feel like every few years, again, like I don't think they'll win the conference outright. I mean, but every few years, I just feel like they put together a good team that wins, you know, one or two games that they probably shouldn't win. And I feel like that could be, you know, one of those seasons for them that they'll just get, you know, like one or two big wins that you wouldn't expect.
Well, and when you look at Bill Snyder, here is a guy who has somehow figured out how to regain his strength off the blood of the youth. Like he's a living, walking vampire. If he can figure out how to suck blood and actually regenerate his own tissue, couldn't he win a few football games? I mean, like there's something there. Something's going on. The man is 80 years old. He's doing something right. Like, he,
yeah, and still going. Yeah,
and still just like, rolling.
Yeah,
No, hey, he's pretty good. And they return their entire offensive line. I don't know who's going to play quarterback for them. They've still got to figure that out. But he returns his offensive line. You know he's going to get someone out there that can play. Bill Snyder just manufactures wins every single year. While most people out there, you know, shopping for a new Walker and some Geritol, he's out there coaching these guys and he's getting wins. I'm going to throw one other team in our mix here for the Big 12, okay? I'm going to throw TCU in the mix.
Okay.
Because Gary Patterson is a really good football coach. Mm-hmm. He's weird. He's always sweaty, but he's very, very good. Now, they do have to replace quarterback Kenny Hill, and they've got to replace a number of people. We'll see how good Patterson's recruiting has been, but it seems like the years that we kind of sleep on TCU is the year that they kind of sneak in and steal a game here or there. These guys always play pretty tough.
Yep, always in the mix. And like I said, this conference as a whole, I think, is going to be, you know, one of the better conferences. Like you said before, lots of points scored.
Yep.
So lots of diversity in between.
Okay, so we're going to do something a little bit different now. We're going to jump from the Big 12, and we're just going to look at some of maybe the smaller conferences, maybe the independents. Are there any teams out there that you look at and say, okay, they're not in a Big 5 conference? Maybe they're at a smaller school. Maybe they're in a smaller conference, but they could, I'm not saying win a title or anything like that, but maybe they could at least be in the national picture. Are there any of those kind of schools that you have out there between independents and maybe smaller conferences?
Well, I mean, I think it's only right we mention the repeat national champion.
Yes, thank you.
UCF Knights has to be the first.
Sure. Hey, they return almost that entire offense.
They are one of the defending national champions. So,
yes, one of them.
But seriously though, I think they'll have another good season. Like I said, schedule is obviously, you know, a weaker schedule, but that's a team that, you know, maybe loses one game and is in that conversation at the end of the year.
Well, yeah, and they're going to score some points. You talked about the schedule. It's not going to be very tough. They should go all the way through. They've got a very, very good chance of going undefeated. You know what I have to admire about Central Florida? I have to admire the fact that they didn't just declare themselves national champions. Like they sold out. Like they went, they got the banner. They went and got the rings. They got like the jackets. Like they had the ceremony. They did the, like, if you're going to pretend, then pretend
all the way.
Do it all the way. Exactly. Don't do it part way and say, hey, yeah, we kind of think we were national champions too. And that's the end of the conversation. No, no, no. Put your money where your mouth is. Go out and spend. Go get the rings. Have the parade. Do the whole thing and be like, hey, in my world, we were champions.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, don't have to do it with 100% the t-shirts, the banners, the whole thing. It's, you know, we're going all out. This is real. This happened.
If you are one of those players, are you wearing that ring?
Of course. I'm all in.
You're showing.
I am a national champion.
That's so funny to me.
Document it.
Yeah, I guess. Hey.
Kind of.
You know what it makes me think of? Let's say that you and I were in an archery contest, and let's say you shot your arrow. And then you ran out and you painted a bullseye around it and just said, hey, I hit it. That's totally what Central Florida did last year. They were like, hey, Auburn, we're going to say they were the best team in the country and we beat them. So what? What do you got?
Case closed. I don't even know why we're still talking about this.
It's just perfect logic. Love it. It makes me so happy. I'm so glad they went all in too. I'm so glad they didn't halfway do that thing. Central Florida is going to be very, very good this year. They're probably going to go undefeated. I just want to see this next year when they do go to a bowl game. If a team actually says, hey, you know what? You're not winning another national championship this year. Like when you play Tennessee in the Weed Eater Bowl, we're coming for you. You don't get to do that on us. Got any of the other small schools that might be of interest to us?
In that same conference, I also like Houston at Oliver. yes. on defense. They got a new offensive coordinator down there. So depending on how that shakes out and how that offense looks, that's a team again with maybe one or two losses that, you know, could be in that conversation at the end of the year.
Good call in Houston, because Ed Oliver, if you don't know that name, get ready to know him come NFL draft time. He's going to be like a top five pick. Kid is an absolute stud. And if you have a chance, maybe they're playing on some goofy Thursday night, tune in and watch the Houston Cougars, because he is an absolute beast on that defensive line. Yeah, that's a nice call on Houston. I'm going to throw out a team, and I don't think they can do anything nationally, but in Conference USA, Florida Atlantic, they've got to replace a quarterback, but crazy Lane Kiffin, who knows what he's going to do? And like I said, I don't think it's going to be anything nationally, but they return almost all their players this year, aside from, like I said, the quarterback. And don't forget who they have in that opener. They get the Oklahoma Sooners in that opener. Oklahoma, don't sleep on the Owls.
Yeah, like you said, Lane Kiffin, just for entertainment value alone.
I love him.
We'd love for them to have a good season, like I said, just based on Lane Kiffin and entertainment value.
Yeah, he's completely out of his mind. I love watching the guy, though. He's just crazy, and he says whatever. If you're not following him on Twitter, by the way, you're missing out, because he says some of the stupidest things you've ever seen. It's absolutely incredible. Florida Atlantic, again, could be someone that could trip someone up. Got anybody else from a smaller conference out there?
Yeah, I got one more. Mid-American Conference, Northern Illinois. Another name to remember, Sutton Smith. That's a good defense down there. You also got Ohio and Toledo in that conference, which are usually pretty good. But I think Northern Illinois returns a lot of people on that defense, and that's another team to keep an eye on.
Okay, I like that call. I'm going to go actually with some Mountain West football. I'm going to go with Boise State, because Boise State has a chance to maybe sneak up on everyone and run the table. If they do, I think they're sitting right around 14, 15 right now in the poll. If they run the table and they get some people to drop, they could sneak into the national picture. Brett Rippon at quarterback is back. The defense returns almost everyone. They have Oklahoma State early, and if they were to somehow get past the Cowboys, they could move up in the rankings. Strength of schedule isn't going to be great because they play in the Mountain West, but Boise could be kind of sneaky. Like I said, maybe get themselves into the national picture. Got any independents, anyone like that out there?
Well, that was actually, I had Boise down, and San Diego State is another one in that same conference. And I think, like you said, they both have one out-of-conference game. I think it's Stanford for San Diego State. And then they play each other. I think San Diego goes to Boise, so I would give Boise the nod in that instance. But like I said, one of those two teams from the Mountain West, I think, will make some noise.
Mountain West is kind of goofy this year, too, because I think it's very, very top-heavy. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a ton throughout, but I think those two schools that we just talked about, Boise State, San Diego State, going to be very, very good. The problem that could end up tripping them up is down the stretch, if that talent just isn't there, if that strength of schedule is just so bad, it's going to end up
costing. It's not being enough,
Yeah, and we'll see if that shapes up. They've got to win that one out-of-conference game each, but if they do, could see something interesting happening in the Mountain West. I guess Fresno State could maybe be in that mix, too. We'll see what comes of them. Got anyone else, small school or independent?
Let me see. I'll give you one more out the Sun Belt, Appalachian State. Always in the, I like them and Troy. I kind of went back and forth on those two, but I'm going to lean with Appalachian State. Again, I have some, a couple good upsets in the past.
Sure.
I feel like they always get, one big win. So that's a smaller school that I could, see kind of being in the mix a little bit.
I like the smaller schools that you're going with, because again, and you talked about it, are they doing anything nationally? No, but could they sneak up and steal one?
Get someone.
We saw Troy do it just last year to Auburn, 2 years ago to Auburn. Mm-hmm. Hey, it can make their whole season if they go get a game
to
like
lose.
That.
Yep. They've got nothing to lose,
Absolutely. Of course, the one big independent that we've got to throw out there, hey, Notre Dame's going to be pretty good again. They lost a few people, but they still return one half of that offensive line. The defensive line is back. Quarterback Brandon Wimbush, he's solid. I don't know if he's great. If he could have a season where he doesn't have one of those big turnover games like we saw against Miami, the Irish could possibly have back-to-back 10-win seasons.
Yeah. Like I said, I think they'll be another good team. I don't think they'll be in the final hunt. They're like one of those teams that always something starts to go wrong towards the end of the season, and they'll get left out, probably end up around the 7-8 spot, I would say. But yeah, like I said, we'll have a good season, but I don't think they'll be in the final picture.
Well, and that schedule is going to be a little challenging. We know they open up with Michigan, but you're going to get the Southern Cows. You're going to play primarily ACC teams. There's a few losses you would think in there. And they're going to have to see if they can get anything out of their skill positions aside from Wimbush. I don't know if Wimbush is great. I think he's okay.
Yeah.
And we saw last year against Miami, OK didn't get it done.
Right. Yeah.
Because they were dragging up that turnover chain every play last year when he was in there. That turnover chain was getting rusty. It was coming out so much.
Yeah, and that's someone, like you said, that if it, you know, starts bad for him, if it goes bad early in the first half, you know, it can, like you said, in that game, it can just snowball and, you know, it gets out of hand quickly.
Yeah. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping you need to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. September's Loot Crate theme is now out, and it is called Invaders. Forget the flying saucers. They're already here, and it may already be too late. Embrace your new overlords with exclusive new gear featuring some of our favorite alien invaders. September's Loot Crate theme features items from Alien, The Predator, The X-Files, and Venom. But trust me, if none of those franchises appeal to you, make sure that you do stop by Loot Crate, because you are going to find just about anything you could possibly think of over there. They have franchises for just about every TV show, movie, or video game you can possibly think of. Of course, the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just make sure that you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for listening to the Daily Dose each and every day. Hey, tomorrow on the Daily Dose, we will be continuing our 2018 Daily Dose College Football Preview with Big Rob. We've still got to get to the big, bad SEC. Plus, we still have to get to our picks for the College Football National Playoff and who is going to win this year's College Football National Championship. We still have a lot to get to this week. Hey, I say thank you all so much for listening to and for sharing the show. Thank you for the emails, the texts, and the tweets. If you would like to contact us, feel free to hit us up, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. We would love to hear from you. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Wednesday.